Hey, welcome to the Released Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Barnett, and here we exist to equip, encourage, and empower spiritual leaders, that's you, so that you can feel released to then influence Southwest Missouri and the world for Christ. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that today's conversation is helpful for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Released Leadership. I almost said Summit. It's the Released Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Alex Barnett, alongside Clayton Havelka. Clayton Havelki, how are you, sir?
Hey, not too bad.
And the one and only Molly Hale. Molly, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Nice. Well, hey, I'm super pumped to talk with you guys about leading the most important people in our lives. Which really starts with ourselves, our significant others or spouses, and then ultimately our children as well. And so this will be a really fun conversation. Honestly, I'm trying to learn how to grow in this area myself, and I know that we have life group leaders and men and women leading discipleship groups that if they're probably honest with themselves and were to take a self-assessment on where they're spending most of their intentional time and helping people to grow, it's probably a lot of external relationships outside of the home. It is for me. And we want to make sure that we're as healthy as we can be inside the home. Because really that's what the Lord commands and that's what he wants. So it's for his glory and ultimately it's for our good as well. And so, hey, Molly, listen, you're married.
I am.
To a really cool guy named Rick. Tricky Rick.
I think he's pretty cool.
Well, man, we love Rick. He's awesome. So you both have been leading a life group for many years, yes?
Several years,
in various capacities. Yeah, on top of that, you are the operations director of Fellowship Bible Church.
I am.
And we were just even joking before we started rolling. Before that, your ministry title was Director of Ministry.
Yes.
Director of all things church.
Very ambiguous. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a lot. Like, God's given you stewardship over a lot of leadership in our church, and you really do an excellent job of that. Rick's also a deacon.
Yes.
So he's caring and serving for tons of people as well. You also have two kids, okay? And one that is a really right at the cusp. She's preteen, okay? So almost in those teenage years. That could be a whole nother podcast about how to lead preteen girls.
Absolutely. Okay?
But we're not going to, we won't dive into that today. And then Clayton. And you're one of the pastors here on staff. You teach on Sundays. You teach on Wednesday nights. At one point, you did. Did you teach 7 times in 7 days?
I've done that numerous times.
A couple of years ago.
Years ago, I would teach twice on Wednesday night. I teach middle school and high school separately, and then I would turn around. So then that Sunday, we would have what was called Gravity Academy, which is a school of theology for high school kids, and I would teach Gravity Academy before church for an hour, and then I would go teach 2 sermons. When at that time, we only had 2 services. And so then I would teach 2 services on a Sunday, and then I would, on that Wednesday night, I would teach 2 more times to middle school and then high school. So I did that numerous times.
That's a lot.
And so that's not a recommendation, because those are all separate sermons, really. So that's not... The quality was probably super low on some of those, but that's not a recommendation for anyone to do consistently.
Sure, but in the same vein, I mean, God's really given you a stewardship of His people too. So, I mean, you're teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays in numerous capacities throughout our church. You're the director of family ministries, and so you counsel members of our church in their marriage, in their parenting. And then you've got 3 kiddos of your own, and you've got a wife, Katie.
So that's right.
You guys are both leading a lot of people. So my question is, to kick us off, how do you do that? How do you lead all of these people that God's put in your life? What's the secret sauce? Like, how do you do this thing? Molly, you got any tips for us just to get us going?
What a tall question that is.
Tell me what to do, Molly. I don't know.
How do I lead all of these people? I mean, you can only do what the Lord has put in you to do. So if I am, I mean, this maybe sounds like a churchy answer, but if I am not connected to the Lord, then there is no there's no abundance for my husband, my children, my leadership roles here, the women of fellowship. So, I mean, obviously the quick, easy answer is I have to be connected to the Lord first, which is a unique challenge in and of itself when you're doing all of the things, you know, that you're doing. And so carving out that kind of time can be super challenging.
Yeah. One of the things that we, it's been kind of one of our cultural things that we'll say as a staff team, certainly in the growth department, is we can't begin to export things that we aren't first experiencing in one. I mean, the gospel, right?
Absolutely.
Like we have to, it has to mean something to us again and again, every single day, every single week before we begin to export that to other people. And Clayton, one of the things that you, I think, have done a really good job of is even on stage, the importance of, hey, pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan to actually meet with God and spend time with Him. I want to ask you about that here in a second and what that looks like in your life. But maybe just to reorient everybody to make sure that we know, you know, what we mean when we mean spiritual leadership and how to be a spiritual leader. If we believe that leadership is just influence, which is what the simple definition is, then spiritual leadership is spiritual influence on anyone around you. And that looks like just pointing people to the person and work of Jesus in our actions and in our words to the people that God's put in our lives around us. And the best way to do this is first, not by becoming a leader necessarily, but a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Part of being a disciple is knowing and following Him, being changed by Jesus and committed to His mission. And so back to the question for Clayton, when it comes to knowing and following Jesus on a day-to-day basis, what does that specifically look like for you?
Sure. Well, I'll go back to your pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. I was someone who discipled me when I was in college told me this, and I thought, I mean, to me, it's very simple, and it creates consistency in me. So you pick a time. You pick a very particular time when it is best in your season of life to spend time with the Lord. So, I mean, when I was in college, I remember it was always in the evening. So I can't remember if it was like 6 or 7 p.m. or right after dinner or whatever the case was. Now, there was a season of time where it was at night. And now with, you know, married with three little ones, it is in the morning before everyone gets up on a very normal basis. So I get up and you pick a time, and then there's a particular place in my house where I have that quiet time where I spend time with the Lord. When I sit in that chair, it is, I don't know if it's a spatial thing. It's kind of like when you go, it's hard to work out at home because it's your house. But when you go to the gym, you're in the gym and it's a different environment. So like when I sit in that chair, like I know what I'm there to do. And so I'm there to spend time with the Lord. And then pick a plan. You know, when I was new to my faith, you know, I'd kind of flip open the Bible, and I would like, all right, what does the Lord have for me? Completely out of context, new to the Word, and I just like pick something out, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done. And so that never worked out well, but when you pick a plan, you get on the Google machines, and you type in Bible reading plan, and there's a million options, literally, that you could pick from, and it gives you structure to actually walk through God's Word. And man, that's what I go by and what I've done for years and years now. So part of that is what has helped me to be consistent in God's Word.
Yeah, I've heard, I can't remember who has said this, but I agree with it, that the hardest person to lead is ourselves.
100%.
First.
100%.
What would be some symptoms of you not doing this? What would be some, if you're not spending time first and foremost, and we don't want to be legalistic about it, right? Of course, we're going to miss a day or two,
sure,
or we're going to have a bad week. We might have a bad season of life even, and there's grace for that. It's all good. But what are the consequences of you not taking that time to first fill up with the good news of the gospel, to fill up with God's word for you? Before you begin like exporting that even to Katie and your three kids.
Sure. So the first person that will notice is my wife. And then the next group of people that will notice are my kids. And if, and those are the people that have got, that God has called me to take care of first. And so, when I'm not operating out of the Word of God that I am, reading and praying through, and I'm not communing with the Lord, I will operate out of my giftedness, which will turn into arrogance, thinking that I'm self-sufficient. And when I operate out of self-sufficiency, things get sideways pretty quickly, because I think if I'm operating out of my own gifts that without the Spirit of the Lord, then I am that I have a hard time being questioned, because now you're questioning my identity, and I can't approach any sort of criticism with humility, and I can't present any sort of question that I have is, hey, I may be wrong on this, because if I'm operating out of my own gifts and self-sufficiency, I'm, gosh, I just tend toward arrogance, I tend toward pride, I tend toward self-discipline of, let me just do this. I'm just going to do it. That's sort of my tendency, and I can get real self-righteous. And the first people to know that is my wife, and she's very kind and very gracious, and she lets me know about it. You know? So,
Molly, you and Rick are heavy empathizers with people. That's one of the reasons why you guys are such good leaders and lovers of people. Can you think of a time, maybe recently, where you guys were really, you felt like leading pretty well externally? Maybe even teaming well together in some areas, like life group, for example. And yet internally, leadership in the home was not healthy. It was not where it needed to be. And maybe some symptoms and results that happened because of that.
Sure. Yeah, I think that, I mean, as Clayton said, we can get there pretty quickly and can tell in each other pretty quickly what, hey, have you been spending time with the Lord? I'm not sure. In myself and in Rick and him, vice versa. So it is really easy to get caught up in when you're, obviously my day job is ministry and we lead a life group and I have some girls I disciple and my son is 20, my daughter is 11. And Rick is, as you said, he's a deacon leading a life group in some counseling situations. And so it's really easy to focus on the fruit of ministry and what the Lord has called us into and forget where he's called us first. As Clayton said, we've first been called to love and serve and lead each other to Christ and our kids to Christ. And it's very easy to forget that, to come home and have nothing left to give to one another or to our kids. And even though it may not look angry or harsh, it's just more kind of an apathetic, tired exhaustion that just kind of sits in the home if we're exporting and exporting and exporting and not really focusing on our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with one another and taking time to pause to watch a movie together as a family or just to go to dinner and ask each other, you know, what's your day looked like? What has the Lord been teaching you this week? Or just even small questions that you can ask someone like my daughter, 11, about her day or how she's seen Jesus in the last week, or even those really simple little things make such a huge impact on our family life. And it's really easy to lose sight of those because you get home and you think, gosh, I have served the Lord all day long. I can't lift another thing. I can't even ask Rick what he's learning from the Lord right now. And so keeping your focus on spending that time with the Lord and, as Clayton said, really calling each other out in grace and truth when you can tell that it's not happening.
Yeah, and I want to – so often when I pull in to my garage at the end of the day, I ask the Lord, what Molly said, you're kind of tapped out. You can't ask Rick what the Lord has been teaching you, because you've asked seven people that today, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. You're like, I've heard it all, you know, like, and you know, it's not right. And you know, you're coming home like it's your spouse and all of those things. And still yet. So, I mean, oftentimes when I'll pull into the garage, it is a very frequent prayer of mine. It's like, God, mentally, I'm taxed out. Like I'm just tapped out. I'm not feeling it. Fill my cup where I just feel like I'm empty. You know, that is a prayer that I pray a lot, it seems like, especially as of late with a bunch of sickness going around in my house. That I'm just like, I'm just like my patients. There's going to be a lot of demands as soon as I come into this house. Give me the increase my capacity. And so, and the only way to increase your capacity is to actually lean in to what the Lord has called you to do. I like to say that you don't get swole without getting a little sore, as they say. You're not going to get stronger without getting in the gym and getting a little bit sore. You're not going to run further if you're into running. You're not going to run further unless you run further. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how to put that. And that's not a self-discipline thing. That's a Lord, give me strength to do that type thing. So
He does ask us to take steps of faith, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I was having a conversation in a counseling appointment just a while back, is that this isn't a legalistic thing, but it's a response to grace thing. And that should move us to something. Hey, you talked a little bit about this, Molly, and I heard from you and Rick's rhythm, one of the things, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but asking questions goes a long way. Whenever you ask a question to Annabelle, to Carter, to Rick, simply, how was your day? How's your walk with Jesus? Having that margin in your calendar, whether you're cooking dinner or before you guys watch Netflix, whatever, it's like having that space where you're able to listen and you're able to like be curious about someone's well-being, right? Mm-hmm. Clayton, I know that there's, and I want to hear it from your perspective as well, Molly, in response to Clayton. Clayton, I know that there's guys like in our church, me being one of them, that I just feel like guys, whenever they get around other spiritual leaders, they're like, hey, what are you doing to lead your spouse?
And, oh, yeah.
You know, what kind of devo are you walking her through? Or, you know, what, you know, like, how do you do this? and that's great. And we all, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we kind of all don't know what we're doing. And we should be more open about that, that we don't know what we're doing. But what's been helpful for you specifically, and then what would be some general things that would be helpful? And then I want to hear from Molly, like, what are some ways that a wife can lead up in her home and her marriage by encouraging Rick to take steps of faith to challenge you and encourage you as well?
Yeah, so I think, and I've encountered this with a lot of newly married or young married people, guys in particular, who with a really great desire of, I want to lead my wife, I want to lead the home, I just don't really know how to do that, because there's all of these options, and then you have paralysis by analysis, and you're like, should I try this, should I try that? And like, and so I had a conversation recently with one guy. He said, man, I'm just not, I want to lead well, but I'm not praying with my wife. And I asked him, I said, how many prayers do you need to pray with your wife before you feel like you are leading your wife? He's like, well, I don't know. Okay, well, how many devotions do you need to have with your wife before you feel like you're leading your wife? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I go, here's the thing, is I like to say that the Holy Spirit convicts specifically and the enemy condemns generally. So the condemnation that I hear is, well, I'm not a good leader. Okay, let's actually flesh this out and actually have a conversation. But what does that mean, right? And so then, you know, have that conversation. And then it goes, what did God call you to do? Well, I mean, you go back to Ephesians 5 is where, you know, he called you to lay down your life for the man, to die for your wife, die to yourself every single day for your wife. I go, that's how you do it. Now, that's good. You should pray with your wife, to be sure. And maybe a devotional would be the best thing. But if you don't do those things, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad leader. You do what you're, and I'm a huge fan of this, and Molly, and I'd love for you to chime in on here, is I think they should ask their wife, what are your expectations? How do you want me to lead you? What would you enjoy spiritually speaking for us to engage in? Because for some people, like my wife and I, I've tried to do, like, let's do a Bible study together. Let's do our quiet times together. But we read very, very differently. I love going through the Bible in a year. My wife has done that, and she's like, all I did was just read. Like, she would rather slow down and take time to slowly, for example, walk through the book of Matthew for months, right? And that is not a preference of mine. And so there's a frequent conversations of what is the Lord teaching you? But just because I don't have a devotion, like a quiet time with my wife, doesn't mean I'm not leading my wife, right?
That's good. I mean, that's like good news for people that are listening that probably have been believing a lot of lies just because they're not going through content or because they're not teaching, they're not leading.
Well, and I think some of it's intentionality. So a lot of the weight was taken off my shoulders when there was, he used to be an elder here and he moved away. But Ted Leonard, you know, he has an awesome family, raised four godly daughters who all four of them really love the Lord. And, you know, how did you do that? And he said that when they were little, that they tried to do the devotional thing as a family at first. And he's like, this is total chaos. And none of this is working. No one's paying attention. And so what they tried to do instead is be a very intentional with what Molly was saying. It's like, how was your day? Tell me what the best part about your day was. Tell me what the worst part about your day was. Tell me. And then when that conversation starts, you can actually begin a discipleship process of how we respond in a gospel way to the highs and to the lows and to that person who was kind or unkind or whatever the case is. So, and I think even doing that is leading spiritually. But Molly, I'd love to hear more of what from a wife's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say, and I just want to double click on that, Clayton, that suggestion you just gave. So when we, and Alex, you were talking about margin with our family. So one thing that we have consistently done since my son was 5 years old is we always have dinner at the dinner table. And we aren't always home to have dinner together. And now my son is 20 and it's a gift if he still lives at home, but it's a gift if he's there to eat. That's exactly right. But whoever is home, we sit down at the dinner table together and you always have to, we go around and you have to answer what was the best part about your day and what was the worst part about your day. And sharing those, even just getting to know each other and learning your kids better and learning your spouse better, it seems like such a simple question, but it really can help create conversation and draw out gospel truths that you can speak into them and absolutely things like that. For me, as a wife, I would say Rick has done an incredible job of, he texts me consistently throughout the week saying, hey, I just prayed for you.
Come on, Rick. Nice.
Or how can I pray for you today? Things like that. And we too have tried the, you know, doing some kind of devo together, or we've walked through a little marriage thing, and those are great. And you should do those if those work for your lifestyle and all of that. But it is hard because you're also doing your own study plan and you're discipling people and you're doing whatever it is you're doing. And so really those little nuggets of time, or those, even just a text that's saying, hey, I'm praying for you, or how can I pray for you today? And absolutely asking the question, like, what is it that you need from me? One of the questions that Rick and I like to ask probably about once a quarter is, what do you think the temperature of our marriage is? And that is, you know, are we roommates? Are we friends? Are we enemies? Hopefully not. You know, are we thriving? Like, kind of where are we at? And we've kind of discussed together what that means, what that looks like. And I would say for wives, it is incredibly important to pray for your husband, to pray for him, to pray for him, to pray for him. And to consistently, you know, in our culture, submission is a dirty word. And when you understand it biblically, it is a beautiful word. Because I know that I like to think of it as a umbrella that the kids and I get to be under the umbrella of Rick's arms, and Rick catches all of the bullets and the fire from the world. And so that means that I need to continuously be praying for that man who continuously takes the punches and the hits and walks before my kids and I in everything that we do as a family for our good. And as he walks towards the Lord and leads us and leads us that way. So absolutely praying for him and continuously keeping the line of conversation open to affirm in him the ways that you're seeing him grow, the ways that you're, the ways that you respect him and what you're proud of him for. Because, I mean, Clayton, you can speak to this, but.
Oh, yeah. you just triggered, in a good way, because that's a, keep going though. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, men, you know, it's absolutely true that women have a great affection for the words I love you, and men have a great affection for the words I'm proud of you or I respect you. Mm-hmm. And so take hold of that, and what are the ways that, and asking the same questions. Like, do you, when you're having that date night, do you feel respected by me? Do you feel, have I disrespected you? Do you feel in any way? And, you know, hopefully unintentionally. Yeah. What does that look like? And having real, vulnerable, open conversations with the Lord in the center of them.
Yeah, and what I want to say is just the I said triggered. Like, people say that. I'm going to use it in a positive way for a moment. Okay, is because there's such a temptation for wives to look at their husbands and go, I wish he would lead in XYZ ways and have a potential of never communicating that. Or just saying to the husband, I wish you would do this. And then sort of leave it at that. If there's wives going to listen to this, I want to encourage you to do what Molly had just suggested, is you encourage that man to be who God has called him to be. So instead of saying, man, I wish you would lead me spiritually, you go, I mean, this would be an example conversation of, hey, I know things have been kind of crazy and chaotic with our lives lately. Here's the deal. I know that you want to lead, and here's some ways that I think you can lead me. And here's what I want you to know. If Mary Kay was talking to you, like, here's what I want you to know, Alex, you can do this. Mm. I need you to know that you can actually do this. I believe in your walk with the Lord. I believe that he's changing you. And here's some things that I see in you. Like, I know you're hardworking. I know you're kind. Like, I see the sacrifices that you, and I know you can, all of those things here in the material world, I know you can do that spiritually for our family. He's like, so here's my expect. He's like, I expect you to do those things because I believe in you. And I'm telling you what, no one is actually Superman, but they're going to pretend. That man will pretend like he is. Okay, like all of a sudden he's going to all the shirts are just going to be ripped in half. All of a sudden, I mean, Hulk Hogan everywhere, right? And encouraging him to do something rather than in a positive way, rather than telling him to do something in a negative way, will do wonders, because Proverbs 18 says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and no one has more the power of that life and that death for a husband than his wife to encourage him to lead spiritually.
That's good.
That's good.
That's really good. Both of you guys were just on a word high.
Just
that's awesome, guys. Hey, that's really good. Hey, to wrap up really this episode, this was really good. It was about, you know, first and foremost, leading yourself, leading your spouse, and then leading your children at home. And if there's any young adult listening that's like, hey, I don't have those things, I would say, hey, this is an opportunity to really use what is described in the Bible as a gift, the season of life as a single person. There are certain things that you're able to do without a spouse, without children, that people with a spouse and with children just simply cannot do, like go on a mission trip, like any time, any place, anywhere, just because you feel called, and because correct. Maybe you don't even feel called. Maybe you just want to experiment and try something new, and you can, and God is honored by that, and you get to enjoy the freedom in that. And so we'll actually link in our show notes, we'll link a series that we did for young adults called A Summer of Singleness. And I think it'll be really helpful as well. Make sure that you use this gift of singleness. Don't lose it. Don't miss out on it. and wish it away, and certainly don't abuse the gift either. Clayton, Molly, thank you so much for jumping on this podcast. Any last words for our leaders?
We've talked a bunch.
The last piece of encouragement that I would give a wife as she is calling her husband to lead is you also don't have to, quote, wait for him to lead. It's okay to say, hey, can I pray over you tonight? Mm. Hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for us? Can I pray for our marriage? And because you are a leader as well, and it's okay to love him in that kind of way. And anyways, and just support him in that.
And I guess since you encouraged wives, let me encourage the husbands for a second. If you're insecure about it, or about leading your home spiritually, or you are, or you just really haven't done it before, everyone is bad at the thing that they do the first time, right?
Like, absolutely.
No one is good at sprinting if you've never sprinted before. No one's going to run a long distance if you haven't practiced running long distance. But I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, no one's really good at it until one day you're good at it. Right. And I don't think maybe the spiritual disciplines that I'm talking about, this is not something that you arrive at. This is a journey. Right. But you get better along the journey. And so the only way to get better along the journey is to actually start that journey. And so, because here's the thing, everyone wants to be really good at something within the first week or two. And no one ever is. But here's the thing, 5 years down from the road, you're going to look back and be like, my whole life is different because I decided to take that step. And I just never quit walking. I just kept walking. Is this Forrest Gump? I just kept running. If you don't quit, you win, right?
Yeah.
So I like that. Keep going.
Yeah.
It's good.
I love that. That's right at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. We know and follow Jesus, and we're being changed. Being, ing, we're continually being changed by Jesus and committed to his mission. His mission begins at home. Thank you guys so much for jumping on this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We will see you guys on the next episode of Released Leadership. Thank you so much for listening to the Released Leadership Podcast. If this podcast has been helpful at all, we ask that you would subscribe and even share it with other aspiring leaders so that we can see more and more people in our area and world influenced by Jesus. We will see you next episode on our Released Leadership Podcast. See ya.